Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Okay, so when you hear the word spirituality, what's the first thing that pops into your head? For a lot of people, I think it's something, well, something pretty grand, maybe ethereal.
Yeah, like gods, angels, that kind of thing. Or maybe energies we can't quite grasp.
Exactly. But what if? What if that picture is missing something? Something maybe more, I don't know, human.
More grounded.
Yeah, grounded. What if spirituality isn't really about seeking out the supernatural, but actually about rediscovering the extraordinary in what's perfectly natural?
That's a fascinating angle.
It really is. And that's actually the question we're diving into today. This deep dive is all about sacred play, finding spirituality in imagination, humor, and creativity.
Sacred play. Interesting term.
Isn't it? We're pulling our insights from this really thought-provoking blog post. It's from the Church of Tinkerbell.
Okay.
And their whole thing, their motto is radical kindness, whimsy, glitter, love, laugh, question.
Huh, I like that. Whimsy and glitter.
Right. It kind of sets the tone, you know. So our mission today for you listening is to explore this idea of spirituality that, well, it doesn't require believing in the unseen.
No external deities needed.
Nope. No solemn rituals, none of that. Instead, it's all about celebrating these deeply human things, our imagination, our sense of humor, our creativity.
The stuff that makes us less.
Precisely. So get ready to maybe rethink what it means to feel awe or find meaning or feel connected, not in some far off place, but right here.
On the everyday messiness of being human.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, what jumps out right away from the source material is how it tackles those common ideas you mentioned.
The gods and angels stuff.
Yeah. It acknowledges that for most people, the mental shortcut for spirituality goes straight to, you know, gods, angels, disembodied souls, or mysterious energies flowing beyond the reach of science. But then it asks this really powerful question. What if we've been kind of looking in the wrong place? What if spirituality isn't about escaping reality at all, but maybe about learning to see life in a, well, a deeper, more colorful, more meaningful way? Just using the tools we already have.
You know, that feels so liberating, doesn't it? It just instantly makes spirituality feel less like this exclusive club.
Right. Less intimidating.
Yeah. It opens it up to everyone. And it's not about proving invisible things or even, like, rejecting them necessarily. It's about building up this inner capacity.
An internal resource.
Exactly. The blog post argues that things like imagination, humor, creativity, they aren't just nice little extras.
Not just escapes from the daily grind.
No. They're described as the lenses we can use to see reality with more, well, texture, more vibrancy, a real sense of humanity.
So they transform the ordinary.
Kind of, yeah. They're like bridges we build to turn the natural, the psychological, even our relationships into something, I don't know, fantastical, meaningful, connecting.
Like turning life into a story or a song.
Or even like a giant cosmic joke we're all sharing, treating life with a bit more playfulness.
And that really leads into the term sacred play, doesn't it? That's where it gets its teeth.
How does the source define that exactly?
It defines it as the imaginative inner representation of what is natural and psychological, expressed in ways that bring awe, meaning, and connection.
Okay, imaginative inner representation.
Right. It's not just a vague feeling. It's a specific way of engaging with the world. It suggests our ability to step back from just the raw data of life, you know.
The sensory inputs, the daily grind, the frustrations.
All of that. Oh. And instead, to discover the poetry behind it. And that act, that discovery, isn't just thinking it's framed as a fundamental spiritual practice.
Finding resonance in the ordinary.
Precisely.
I really like that phrase, finding the poetry in the raw data. But, okay, for someone listening who maybe is used to a more traditional view of spirituality, doesn't this risk sounding a bit, well, a bit too intellectual? Like, how does sacred play make sure this reframing still feels, you know, authentic, deeply moving?
Like, not just a mental game.
Yeah, exactly. Not just a philosophical puzzle.
That's a really good point. I think the authenticity comes from how deeply human it is at its core.
Okay.
We're not trying to like force meaning onto things where there isn't any. It's more about tapping into our natural ability to create meaning.
Ah, okay. The creation part.
Yeah. Think about it, right? A sunrise. It isn't just photons hitting our eyes, is it?
No, it feels like more.
Because our imagination gets involved. It transforms it into this incredible painting across the sky. Maybe a reminder of endings, beginnings, cycles.
Renewal.
Exactly. The awe we feel in this view isn't coming from some celestial being directing the sun. It's from our own inner capacity to see its majesty and weave that into our story.
And laughter.
Same idea. It's not just, you know, a physical spasm. It's our collective mind creating what the source calls the music of shared absurdity.
I like that. Music of shared absurdity.
It's just this sacred chorus saying, yeah, we get it. We made it through another day. We're all in this weird thing together. The authenticity is right there in the feeling, the shared experience, not tied to a specific belief.
So it grounds everything awe, meaning not in something external, but in our internal world and our connections with each other.
Right. Which makes it incredibly accessible, doesn't it?
Totally. For anyone, regardless of background or beliefs. Which brings us to a really key part of sacred play, imagination.
Mm-hmm.
The source makes this huge claim, calling imagination the birthplace of meaning. That feels big. How does it elevate imagination from just, you know, daydreaming to something fundamentally spiritual?
It is a big claim, isn't it? It's quite a profound shift because, you know, many of us were sort of taught early on to draw a hard line between what's real and what's imagined.
Yeah, often like imagined means not important.
Exactly. To our detriment, maybe. But the source, and actually a lot of psychology, would argue that our brains are essentially story-making machines. We can't help it.
We're always building narratives.
Constantly. To make sense of everything. Why someone acted a certain way, who we think we are. Imagination is the engine driving that whole meaning-making process. It's how we take experiences which are often fleeting, sometimes chaotic, and turn them into coherent stories that actually stick with us. It's how we create metaphors to understand our inner lives.
Like a broken heart or a heavy burden.
Precisely. Those are imaginative constructs, right? Yeah. They give shape to feelings that are otherwise abstract. Without imagination, life is just, well, raw data.
Yeah.
It lacks that emotional richness, that conceptual depth we naturally crave.
So the meaning isn't just out there waiting to be found.
It's forged inside us.
Through imagination. Wow, it's the ultimate tool for turning what happened into what it means. And the source uses some really vivid examples, right? Like dragons.
Exactly. Dragons, they don't exist in the real world, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of dragons created by imagination is incredibly potent.
How so?
Well, they give us a powerful way to explore really universal human stuff. Courage against huge odds, the danger of greed, primal fear, good versus evil. They become the symbolic language for our inner struggles.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or think about a kid turning a cardboard box into a spaceship. The source says that's not just pretending. It's a spiritual act of revisioning the world into something alive with adventure.
Revisioning the world.
Yeah, that kid isn't just playing. They're actively shaping their reality, filling it with wonder. And art too, obviously. It's not just copying a scene.
It's an invitation inside the artist's head.
Right. Turning private imagination into something shared, letting us connect with feelings and ideas that maybe words can't quite capture.
So imagination isn't about escaping reality. It's about experiencing this reality more deeply. It's like a core spiritual engine.
Well put.
And if imagination paints life with wonder, the source then says humor frames it with humility. I thought that was a brilliant pairing.
It is, isn't it?
Humor as this constant reminder that, you know, none of us really has it all figured out. Life is inherently a bit ridiculous, messy, impossible to script perfectly. I think we all feel that sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where humor becomes, well, profoundly spiritual in this context. Because it reconnects us. It highlights our shared vulnerability, our imperfections. And crucially, it takes the sting out of things like fear. Or our tendency to take ourselves way too seriously.
Yeah, deflates the ego a bit.
Exactly. The blog post points out how laughter can just instantly break the tension in a really heavy situation. Or how satire can expose the cracks in power structures, reminding us not to hold anything or anyone as absolutely sacred or beyond question.
Mm.
Even when things are really tough, like in grief, sometimes sharing a funny, maybe absurd memory can soften the pain. Just for a moment.
It provides a release.
A collective release, yeah. It's like saying, okay, this is overwhelming, but look, we're still here. together. And if you can find a moment to laugh, maybe we can breathe. It's a deep active community built on shared silliness.
That idea of collective release through humor, that really resonates. I remember this one time my car just died, like right in the middle of this massive interception. Total panic first.
Oh no.
Yeah. But then my friend and I just looked at each other and burst out laughing at how completely absurd it was.
Huh. You found the humor in the chaos.
We did. And instantly, the tension just vanished. We felt weirdly connected in that ridiculous moment. It sounds exactly like what the source means by humor's spiritual power.
That's a perfect example.
So it makes me wonder then, how do we actually channel this imaginative spirit, this humorous perspective, into something tangible? Is that where creativity fits in?
Yes, exactly.
Transforming these inner ways of seeing into, what did the source call them? Everyday sacraments.
That's precisely it. Creativity is where the imagination and the humor meet action. It's where ideas and play become embodied, something real you can share, making the invisible visible.
Okay.
The source uses the term everyday sacrament because the act of creating takes those inner movements, our feelings, our insights, our little whimsies, even our jokes, and gives them actual form.
And this isn't just about capital A art, right?
Not at all, though art is definitely part of it. But it's broader. It's about bringing anything new into existence with that playful, imaginative spirit. Could be a poem, sure, or a song, a drawing. Mm. But it could also be a really well-timed joke. Or even just preparing a meal with love and care.
So the act of creation itself is the key. How does that make it sacramental, though, if that word has weight?
It's sacramental because it literally embodies meaning. When you pour your imagination, your playful spirit into making something, you're putting your unique essence into it.
It's like an offering.
Exactly. It's an offering.
Yeah.
And when you share it, it stops being just about you and moves into the realm of community. This is how creativity builds connection.
So it's not just making art, it's making community.
Right. It's like saying, look, here, I felt this thing. Do you feel it too? The blog post really emphasizes this. When someone responds, when they nod or laugh with you, or maybe even cry with you.
Spirituality is happening.
That's what it says. Spirituality is happening. It's that moment of real human connection, forged because you shared something you created. Think about, say, a gardener.
Okay.
Someone finding real joy and meaning in just cultivating life, turning dirt into something beautiful, maybe something nourishing.
Yeah.
That's an act of what this source calls sacred creativity,
transforming
the mundane into something meaningful through action.
You know, that's incredibly freeing, especially for people, maybe like me sometimes, who don't think of themselves as artistic in that traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that even just, I don't know, organizing a messy room thoughtfully or finding a creative solution to a tricky problem, that could be sacred play.
Absolutely. It broadens the scope entirely.
So this whole reframed idea of spirituality, it really doesn't seem to demand belief in invisible forces at all. It's like the source puts it, spirituality without superstition. But is there a risk there? For some people, if spirituality can be found anywhere in a joke, a walk in the park, does it maybe lose its specialness, its power? If we don't have those traditionally sacred places or specific rituals?
That's a really important question, and the source addresses it pretty directly. It's not about dismissing religion or traditional rituals at all.
Okay.
It's more like a recognition that many of the things we often attribute to gods or specific holy places, that sense of wonder, deep connection, finding meaning, these things are actually rooted in our own human capacities.
Imagination, humor, creativity.
Exactly. They live inside us, ready to be activated. So the specialness isn't lost.
Yeah.
You could say it's democratized, made available to everyone.
So the awe is still there, still powerful.
Definitely. But it's grounded in the amazing richness of what's already here in this life, in our experience, rather than depending on believing in something external.
It flips the script, kind of.
It does. It says, these amazing capacities aren't gifts handed down from somewhere else. They're just part of being human, available to anyone who chooses to engage with life playfully. It empowers people to find that sense of transcendence in their ordinary lives.
Yeah.
Every moment holds that potential.
Making every moment potentially sacred. Okay, so then the big question becomes, how do we actually do this? How do we practice sacred play? Because it sounds great in theory.
Right. How do we make it real?
Yeah, move from just understanding it to actually living it. The blog post suggests it's less about rigid rituals and more about, well, acts of imaginative play. It gives some really nice concrete examples.
It does. And the key seems to be intentionality, plus a willingness to just be playful.
Like,
it suggests maybe writing a story where you exaggerate your fears until they become almost ridiculous.
Giving them a form you can laugh at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, and I love this one, make up a silly mini holiday just because, I don't know, your pet did something funny. Celebrate Fluffy Overlord Day just for the sheer whimsy of it.
Uh-huh.
Or create something, anything, a drawing, a song, whatever, that captures how you feel inside, even if you think no one else will get it. The act of making it is the point, the sacrament. The audience isn't the main thing.
And it applies to how we interact with others too, right?
Absolutely. It suggests maybe telling a joke at your own expense sometimes. Let yourself be part of that cosmic comedy. Embrace your own quirks with a light heart.
Okay.
Or, and this is quite beautiful, consciously spend a moment seeing the ordinary world as if it were enchanted. Your morning coffee isn't just coffee, it's a magic potion. Your kitchen isn't just a kitchen, maybe it's a cathedral for a minute. Your laughter isn't just noise, it's a hymn.
These little shifts in perspective.
Tiny shifts. These playful acts the source makes clear, they aren't trivial. They're how we practice reverence for life itself, but without getting bogged down in seriousness. They're small, easy ways to fill our daily lives with a bit more wonder, a bit more meaning. Building a spiritual life through joy and creativity, not obligation.
And that really ties it all together, doesn't it? This whole deep dive seems to show that spirituality, it doesn't have to be the solemn supernatural thing.
Uh-huh.
It can be silly, it can be playful, even irreverent sometimes, and just deeply, wonderfully human.
Exactly. When we let imagination, humor, and creativity really shape how we see things, how we experience reality, we open ourselves up to this sense of awe that's totally grounded, not in myths about unseen worlds, but just in the incredible richness of what's already right here.
Yeah.
The world as it is, just seen through that lens of wonder.
Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, the core message from that Church of Tinkerbell post is pretty clear. Things like joy, laughter, creativity, they feel holy. Not because they float down from somewhere else.
But because they rise up from inside us.
Exactly. They rise from within us. They're the forces that connect us, bind us together in this, you know, beautiful, sometimes ridiculous, always unfolding adventure of being human.
It feels like a powerful invitation, really.
It is. A call to embrace that capacity for wonder we all have and to actively play our way into a deeper, more meaningful connection with life itself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe here's something for you, our listener, to take away and think about. How could embracing just a little bit more whimsy, maybe sharing a laugh, or finding a moment for imaginative play in your regular day?
Yeah.
How might that deepen your sense of connection and awe?
Hmm.
What small act of sacred play could you maybe try today just to turn something ordinary into something maybe a little extraordinary?
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.